Welcome back to the Recency Bias. My name's Ian Boisvert. I'm the deputy editor of Rabbit Habs Magazine, sitting in for Zach Vanas tonight. Another stinker. Montreal drops this one in Anaheim 6-2. Outscored by a large margin in their California trip. Losing all three games, obviously. Losing seven in a row for the first time since 1939. Things don't look great. But let's get into it first. And then we'll talk about the, I guess if you want to say, fun stuff afterwards. Another rough start right out of the gate for the Canadiens. A minute 46 in, you've got Rasmussen scoring. A shot through traffic, he deflects it. Price never saw it. It seems to be the book on Carey Price. You get bodies in front of him, or any goalie for that matter. You get bodies in front of him, you're going to have success. That's a minute 46 in. And then shortly afterwards, exactly 2 minutes later, Anaheim scores their first power play goal of the year. Derek Grant tucks in a goal that... another shot from the point that just found its way back out into the slot off the pad of Carey Price. It looked like Vermette tipped it. It doesn't look like he got an assist, meaning the league looked at it and decided he didn't touch it. So, at any rate, nothing really doing for the Canadiens in the first period. The Ducks would add another one at 13:42. Antoine Vermette would score, finally would get on the scoreboard to make it 3-0 at the end of the first. I'm not sure what was said in the locker room. I'm sure every Canadiens fan who watched this game was kind of wondering what was going to happen. They came out like their lives depended on it in the second period. Shots in the first were 21-7 for Anaheim. Montreal closed the gap in the second. Shots were 30-10 for the Canadiens. The 30 shots for Montreal in the second was their... was a new franchise record for shots in a single period. You know, you can look at it another way. The 28 saves for the Ducks goaltender Gibson was a franchise record for saves in a period by a goaltender. So there we have Montreal. They still scored twice, and they're still making goalies look good. But at any rate, second period, Carl Alsner continuing his Norris Trophy run, of course, very tongue-in-cheek, launched a bit of an intentional shot wide off the boards that ricocheted out the other side. Byron streaking in, tucked it, second goal in two games. Montreal's on the board, feeling pretty good about themselves. A power play late in the period, Brendan Gallagher draws it, going to the net hard, gets tripped by Francois Beauchemin. And he ends up scoring on a Victor Mete shot. So that's Mete's second career point. We'll get into Mete in a little bit because Eric Engels asked an interesting question on Twitter about the status of Victor Mete and the Montreal Canadiens. But anyway, so Montreal goes into the third feeling pretty good about themselves. They got the shots back to a point where they were real close. In fact, they were leading in shots at the end of the second period for the game. They seem to have it in hand. That one goal didn't seem insurmountable for the first time this year. And they just need to go into the third and win another period of hockey. They did the exact opposite. They did what we've seen them do every game this year, where they've been within striking distance and they choke. Anaheim scores three goals in less than 2 minutes against Montreal. The first one coming at 5:58 of the third period. That'd be Brandon Montour scoring on what is essentially just... We keep talking about bad breaks and TSN 690. If you listen to the Habs Hot Topic, they aired Dems de bounces. This was a bounce. Kevin Bieksa went to go take a shot from the point on a delayed penalty against the Canadiens. His stick disintegrated in his hands. And instead of fluttering wide, it rolls right to Brandon Montour, who one times a broken stick shot. You rarely see it. And it went bar down and Price sprawled and there was no hope for him to get that. which is fine. Two goals in 14 minutes, that was not insurmountable by the shot quantity that Montreal was putting on net. They could have come back from that. Mentally, they could not have come back from that. Because at the 7:12 mark, we haven't hit 2 minutes yet. Derek Grant scores his second of the game from Kasha and Richie. And now suddenly it's insurmountable. At that point, it's 5-2. And before 30 seconds go by at 7:35, Chris Wagner scores. And now it's done. After this goal, Price smashes his stick, goes to the bench, obviously frustrated. If you watched it on TSN, the Montreal Canadiens feed, Craig Button said, this is Carey Price getting frustrated with his teammates. Like, you're serious? This is what broke us? We battled the entire game, and we come back, and we get one bad bounce, and we just disintegrate. Incredibly frustrating for Price, and I'm going to get into him in a little bit too. But at any rate, that's where that would end score-wise. There was a little bit of a ruckus later on where Andrew Shaw was taking some pretty gratuitous face-washing from Kevin Bieksa. You know Shaw knows what he can get away with and what he can't. He's standing in front of the net, and I guess it had been going on for a while, and Bieksa's got him by the neck of his jersey, and he's just popping him in the chin. And the first punch, Shaw takes it and looks over at the ref like, nothing? Okay. And he takes about 4 or 5 more punches before he goes down, and Bieksa just skates away. Shaw gets up, looks around, doesn't see an orange armband in the air, and he says, fine, I'm going after him. And you know, I don't praise fighting. I think fighting is kind of dumb. This is a situation where it was necessary. You send a message. It's kind of late in the game. Yeah, I get that. But if the referees aren't going to stand up for a guy, or at least just do the right thing, call a penalty on Kevin Bieksa, who has made a career doing stuff like this. Shaw had every right to go after him, and I think the referees noticed their mistake, because even though there was no penalty on that play, Montreal ended up on the power play for 4 minutes with both of them getting ejected, getting 10-minute misconducts, and they gave 4 minutes to Bieksa for roughing. Well, there was no penalty before. Why are you calling it now? But anyway, I could go on about officiating. And at this point in the season, we're kind of tired of it anyway. So they dropped this one. They are now 1-6-1 on the year, going back to the Bell Center, which I think actually hurts them. If you're on Twitter during games, the fans are just out for blood right now. And I took over the Rabbit Habs account. I said we're not going to tweet through this game. It's a very, very toxic atmosphere right now. We took some crap for it, which kind of proved my point. At any rate, going back to Montreal is almost the last thing the Canadiens need right now. They're not going to sell out that arena, I don't think. And the second things start going poorly, those fans will be on them. So I'll start with Mete. Eric Engels brought up in the middle of the game, you know, with the Canadiens being the tire fire that they are, and he didn't say that, but I'm saying it, with them being the way that they are, does it make sense to keep Mete here? It's not Mete's fault. He's been a bright spot on an otherwise pretty abysmal Canadiens blue line. Does keeping him here make any sense if this team is going to be a lottery team? And if you asked me 3 weeks ago if I would be saying that, I would think you were out of your mind. And to be honest, it doesn't make any sense. Why keep him around? You're just going to burn a year of his contract that won't be productive. Now, the alternative to that is, well, he's not getting premium NHL, you know, he's not getting NHL experience if he's going back to London to play against kids. And I hear that, and that's why I was a big proponent and still am a big proponent for keeping him around. But if you start to, not start to, if you keep playing the way you're playing, there's no point in keeping him. You're going to burn a year of his contract, which, I mean, isn't the end of the world, but it's a backwards move. And you still stink. What do you want? He can't save your blue line. He's done a fantastic job on that top pairing. He is the best power play quarterback on this team. That's why I would keep him. But if it's for naught, if it means nothing, you send him back to London. At this point in the season, it's tough to make that call. But they have now played 8 games. Meaning if he plays 2 more, I think you can play 9. And they have to make the decision after 9 before he plays the 10th. If he plays the 10th game, you can't do it. And speaking of power play quarterbacks, this is going to be ridiculous. Hang in there. Jonathan Drouin needs to be removed from the power play unit. It's not a dig at Drouin. I love the player. I love what he brings at 5-on-5. Not a whole lot of guys have the vision he has. I don't think anybody on this team has the vision Jonathan Drouin has. But you watch the power play that scored tonight, the one with Gallagher on it. There's movement. Everyone's going to the net. The puck is moving from side to side. Players are cycling. It's a productive power play. When you watch Drouin on the power play, and I don't know if this is coaching strategy, I don't know if this is players deferring to the most talented player on the ice, but it stops. Everything stops. And the fact that everything stops is bad. The players stop moving. No one moves. Shea Weber sits in his spot. He's completely neutralized because Jonathan Drouin's on the other side of the ice. The goalie doesn't have to move. You have to get the goaltender moving laterally in order to score on him. This is the NHL now. You get traffic in front, you get him moving laterally. That's how you create goals. But when Drouin is on the half wall, it's not like when Kovalev was there. Because Kovalev was a threat to shoot. Everyone knows Drouin's not shooting the puck. And again, maybe it's not entirely his fault. But when he's out there, the power play stinks. Maybe it needs more practice time, but show some life. Move around. Skate. Every player on that, and it might be to the Canadiens' benefit that he doesn't go out on the first power play wave, because I think they all look at him and go, it's okay, Drouin's going to do it. Weber doesn't have to take 10 one-timers a game. It's okay, we got Drouin here. But if Weber's not playing on the power play effectively, what is he here for? Love Shea Weber, but if he's not releasing that one-timer and he's not getting it off as much as he used to, he's not taking wristers from the blue line. He's not a quarterback. He's a finish guy. But anyway, I don't even remember what I'm going to get into now. Let's talk about Carey Price. He was frustrated, obviously. Something rubbed me the wrong way, though. He gave up 3 goals in the first period, and after the third goal, he starts laughing it up with Corey Perry in the crease. Now, maybe it's a bit of an overreach, but it's kind of tough as a fan to look at that and go, nah, he's just having a good time. He just gave up 3 goals in the first period. Can you look mad? Don't let it get to 6-2 before you get mad. That's frustrating. And it's frustrating coming from a guy who's gone through a lot on this team, who's, you know, started off as a young kid, taking a lot of criticism, being, you know, the only player on his team that shows up most nights, to now a complete role reversal where it's sort of like he might even be a liability right now, which is unfortunate because I really like Carey Price. I still think he's an elite goaltender. I think he's really struggling. Max Pacioretty did his best tonight. How many shots did he have? I think he had 8 into the third period. He had 10 shots. 10 shots on goal. Lehkonen had 5. And Gallagher also had 5. Those are the 2 closest Canadians after him. He did his best. I like the move of taking him away from Drouin. But I don't like the move because then you look at that trade and you go, well, why did you make it? You wanted to give Max Pacioretty a number one center. The whole summer was themed that way. It was the Max Pacioretty, Jonathan Drouin friendship tour. And it was photo op after photo op, and I'm taking him under my wing. Now you're not even on his wing. Okay. This one's over. I'm going to stop this now to take some advice for myself. we cannot let, I don't even know what to say. And I know this is bad radio, it's bad podcasting, but this team is baffling. I have no words for this anymore. I hope just for the players' sake, just for their mental stability, they can steal a game. Win a game you have no business winning. Florida would be a great start. I'm not seeing it. But I haven't seen it the last 2 weeks. They've gone over 2 weeks without a win. So anyway, let's stop this here. Everyone go enjoy your day. Have a Montreal Canadiens free weekend. I think we've all earned it. Once again, this has been Ian Boisvert of Rabbit Habs Magazine. By the way, I apologize for no post-game recap. I had it written up. It was basically everything you just heard now, but our WordPress dashboard decided to just eat it. So none of that today. We'll be back after the Florida game. I promise you, I had it written up. WordPress just took it away from me. But dem's the bounces, as they say. All right, I'm done here. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you for listening. And we will talk again very soon.